Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders, best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Hotty toddy, gosh almighty. This is the Ole Miss Preview Show, and Ole Miss is coming off of a 10-win season last year, 10-3 to be exact. And it was back-to-back 10-win seasons for the Rebels for the first time since 1959 and 1960. They lose Jackson Dart, the quarterback this year, who has moved on to the NFL. Can Lane Kiffin make it a third year of double-digit wins with a new signal caller there at quarterback? Brad Logan will join us on the other side of this open to do a preview into year number 6 of Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, it's look. No.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Ole Miss Rebel Preview Show right here on the Stingray Show. And last year had to be so frustrating for the Ole Miss Rebels because they lose early in the season to Kentucky by 3 points at home. Then they lose on the road in overtime to LSU in a close game. Then they knock off Georgia and Kirby Smart, and people think they have turned the corner, to only go the next week down to Florida and lose by a touchdown to the Florida Gators 24-17 and ultimately miss out on the playoffs last year, going 10-3 and beating Duke in the bowl game. How will Ole Miss fare in 2025? Brad Logan is about to join us right now to do a deep dive into Ole Miss. Brad, how are things with you in Oxford?
Doing well, Stephen. Kind of looking at last year, I think you can say that it was a bit of a disappointment. I think you look historically over the Ole Miss program, winning 10 wins, I find it hard to say that it was a disappointment. You know, back-to-back 10-win seasons. I think you can look at it and say that should Ole Miss have beaten Kentucky and maybe have beaten Florida, they have a chance to make the college football playoff. I think that is absolutely true. But I'm not sure I would call it a disappointing season by winning 10 games. That's not something that Ole Miss does historically year in and year out. But there were some disappointing things that happened last season for sure.
And especially the handling the success of beating Georgia, everybody's on a high, and then turning back around and losing at Florida.
Well, the season was defined by losing to Kentucky early in the year. And so if Ole Miss beats Kentucky, the Florida and the LSU game really doesn't matter. You finish 10-2. But You know, Ole Miss didn't do that, and they lost to a team that came in and won one conference game last year. Right. And they outplayed Ole Miss, and Kentucky won the game. You know, I jokingly said that Ole Miss very well could go to Lexington this year and lose by 30 to Kentucky, but it will not be because they overlooked them.
Right.
I think in some ways last year they kind of took their eye off the prize, and by that time the game was over and it was too late. But I do not think they'll overlook Kentucky this year, and the schedule does present a little bit more of a challenge early than it did last year. And I think that was a lot of the problems for Ole Miss, is they didn't have a lot of competition in the earlier part of the year. And then all of a sudden they played Kentucky, came in and played well, and by the time they looked up, the game was over. So this year, obviously not the case opening up with Georgia State, but they do have some competition with Kentucky and Arkansas. And then Tulane. I think Tulane and Coach John Summerall will have a really good team. They went to the portal and got a really good quarterback. We've got Coach Ed Ogeron on staff, and I think Coach John Summerall is one of the best college coaches in the game today before that team plays LSU and a big one in Oxford, to say the least. So schedule much more difficult on the front end than it was last year.
So, Brand, you live there in Oxford. Talk about the hype and the expectation going into this season for Ole Miss.
Well, I don't think it's near the expectations that last year had. I do think there are expectations. I think the over-under is right at 8.5, and I've said all along, I think Ole Miss probably finishes 9-3. With a little bit of help, they can go to 10-2, and anything lower than 9-3, I think, is a disappointing season for Ole Miss. I think you look at what Ole Miss fans are expecting. I think there's going to be some hangover from last year, especially watching Jackson Dart in the league and players like Walter Nolan, Ulysses Bentley, Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, and others, Poop Hall, that are no longer on the team. And, Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, we had a chance to visit with him last week, and he talked about how important it was last year and how big of a season it was. But this particular defense this year is not last year's team. Specifically on the defensive front, he doesn't believe that Ole Miss will take a very big step back. Now, on paper, it looks like they're taking a monumental step back, but then you start looking at some of the players on defense, like Xavier Harrison, Jamarius Brown, along with Deshaun Womack at defensive end, and Prince Well, Umani Mielen. He likes his front seven, if you will, and so he really likes his defensive front. So the expectations, I think, are to win 9-10 games and possibly get into the college football playoff. If chalk prevails, which it didn't last year, I think Ole Miss is probably going to be a favorite in 9 out of the 12 games. Probably not LSU, probably not Georgia, and probably not Oklahoma.
Right.
At the end of the day, I think Ole Miss fans, once again, I can't say it enough, I think there'll be a bit of a hangover from last year. But I think that Lane Kiffin really likes this team. There's a quiet confidence with Pete Golding, and also quarterback Austin Simmons. So I do think there's a chance Ole Miss has a year to which they can get to 10 wins. To me, it's all about what happens in Norman, Oklahoma, following the trip to Athens to face Georgia. If Ole Miss can win that game at Oklahoma, there's a chance they can have a very special season. So definitely a lot of water to cross under the bridge before Ole Miss gets to that game, for sure.
Brand, you just talked about Jackson Dart has moved on. You mentioned Austin Simmons. Talk about others in that quarterback room that could potentially replace Jackson Dart, please.
Well, I mean, this is Austin Simmons' team. And
okay.
They scrimmaged on Saturday, and they had a scrimmage a couple of days before. All of this is closed to the media. So this is going off reports that we get from people that were there. And I know he struggled some in the two scrimmages before. Had a pretty good scrimmage this past Saturday, from what I understand, from what little that has leaked out. This is his team. I think there's a chance you could possibly see a package for Trinidad Chambliss. He's a transfer that came in. A.J. Maddox is also a backup for Ole Miss. But make no mistake, this is Austin Simmons' team. And the players have responded very well. Their receiving room is absolutely loaded. And players like Caden Lee have been very big advocates for Austin Simmons. We talked a lot about the game last year against Georgia. You mentioned it a moment ago. And there was one series where Jackson Dart was hurt. And Austin Simmons came in and drove the team down, scored a touchdown. It was raining. It was a high-pressure situation. And Caden Lee, we asked him at SEC Media Day, the wide receiver for Ole Miss, who caught a couple of passes on that drive, and said that he was cool as a cucumber. So he's been in the trenches, and I don't think that, you know, it can really go unsaid just how important it was to have that drive against Georgia, and then obviously having all of the spring and having all of fall camp to get ready for the opening game of the season in a couple of weeks against Georgia State. And this is Austin Simmons' team, make no mistake about it. I don't expect to see, you know, Lane Kiffin mentioned that he did not anticipate Austin running a lot. So this is probably going to be a passing attack now because Ole Miss is four deep at running back, something it was not last year. In fact, had a walk-on wide receiver against Florida as the main running back. So this is a running back room that's loaded with depth, and that's good news for Ole Miss.
So, Brad, let's switch to the running backs and the wide receivers. That's what we're going to do on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, the Ole Miss Rebel preview show for 2025. We'll continue right after this when we will talk about the wide receiver position and the running back. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. On northbound Lurline Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's a 9-minute drive. Also north on Highway 69 from McFarland to Mitlary Road, it's an 8-minute drive. Watch for ongoing construction on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road. And also University Boulevard is closed between Campus Drive and Colonial Drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Hey, this is why
the best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Through August the 19th, these amazing deals are going on at South's Finest Meats, including one dozen of Grade A Extra Large Eggs, $3.38. Crinkle Cut Fries, which is a 5-pound bag, $6.96. 30 count of Southern Style Pillsbury Biscuits at $9.49. And a 14 count of Corn Dogs, $8.45. They also have great deals on chicken, pork, seafood, Ziegler products, and of course, beef. You can find them at 3201 10th Avenue right there in Tuscaloosa. Go by there today and check out all of their specials that run through August the 19th. This is the Ole Miss Rebel Preview Show. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Brad Logan, who covers Ole Miss exclusively. And Brad, before the break, you were talking about the running back room being four deep. Go ahead and talk a little bit more about that, please.
Well, Logan Diggs, who originally started his career at Notre Dame, then would transfer to LSU before transferring to Ole Miss, is getting a lot of carries. And Stingray folks that followed Ole Miss know that he did not play very much at all last year. In fact, only played a couple of snaps in the bowl game in the the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. Yeah. And had a knee injury and only ran it a couple of times. But he is 100% from everything that we've been told. And I asked him, and he said he was ready to go during media day. So he's getting a lot of carries. You look at Kawan Lacy, who transferred in from Missouri. Lacy originally signed with Ole Miss. Originally signed with Missouri. Committed to Ole Miss, signed with Missouri. Now he's back at Ole Miss, the world of NIL. I mean, it's crazy, and this transfer portal business. So he's going to be kind of your scat back. And then Damian Taylor, running back out of Troy, a 1,000-yard rusher, transferred in. He's going to be more of a bruiser. He's a senior, and he looks the part as well. Shekai Mills-Knight, also a big-time running back, a four-star product out of the state of Tennessee. He's a true freshman. Don't know if we'll see him or not. You know, a lot of times freshmen kind of swim a little bit when you talk about the playbook. But, you know, he is very highly decorated, and that's just four running backs right off the top that'll get the job done for Ole Miss. And in depth at the running back room is something that Ole Miss, like I said, they didn't have. And being able to have that depth is going to be key moving forward. I think Lacy and Logan Diggs would be your 1-2 punch, and then having Damian Taylor kind of come off the bench and be kind of your bruising back, the big back to get the yard to.
Brad, you mentioned in the last segment that it was Austin Simmons' football team as the quarterback. Who were some of the guys that he's going to be throwing to on the outside? Talk about some of the wide receivers, please.
Yeah, Caden Lee is a guy that didn't drop a pass last year. Really good wide receiver and someone that's kind of going to be the Jordan Watkins for this team this year. The possession guy that runs great routes. And he's going to be Austin's go-to guy, a guy that has really blown up that we've been able to see in the limited amount of practice that we've been able to see is Deshaun Stribling, the transfer out of Oklahoma State. He is an absolute baller. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he can go up and get it. He reminds me a lot of DK Metcalf, who's got a really big upper body and lower body, but has been really good in the amount of time I've been able to see him. Harrison Wallace III out of Duke, the senior transfer, has been good as well. And then, of course, Deuce Alexander, the sophomore transfer out of the state, or actually a transfer out of Wake Forest. And, you know, a lot of fans remember Deuce Alexander. He played for Wake last year. Had a chance to visit with him and ask him what kind of appeal to Ole Miss and kind of how you landed at Ole Miss when you entered the portal. He said, well, we played them last year. They beat us pretty good. I thought it'd be pretty good to be on that sideline and playing for an offense like Lane Kiffin. So that was one of the reasons that he decided to come to Ole Miss. Traylon Ray, another interesting story. He'll have an opportunity. And then Caleb Odom, a transfer. All these are transfers. And Odom is a guy that can play tight end, can put his hand in the dirt, or kind of can be stepping up and play on the slot. And then at tight end, Luke Haas, the junior transfer, had a little bit of an injury, but he's kind of on crutches, but he's kind of not. He's working through a lower leg injury, and so they feel really good about him being able to go in a couple of weeks. And then Daquan Wright, the senior transfer, he was with the team last year. And if you remember, Caden Prescorn was really good for Ole Miss, but a lot of times he would be double-teamed and Jackson Dart would go to Daquan Wright. So the tight end room is absolutely loaded. You got redshirt, our senior transfer, Trace Bruckler, is also in the tight end room. And then you got Caleb Odom. So the tight end room is absolutely stacked. The wide receiver room is stacked. Winston Watkins, a freshman, has been getting a little bit of play from what I've seen during practice. But Caleb Cunningham, he is the five-star freshman out of Ackerman, Mississippi, played at Choctaw County High School. He's swimming a little bit, but he is someone that I think down the road will be a huge part of this Ole Miss offense. The good news is there's so much depth at running at wide receiver, they're not really having to lean heavily on Cunningham, who is a true freshman. And I think by the time he learns that playbook in and out, he's going to be a major target for Ole Miss down the road.
We've talked about the skill positions on offense. As we sit here a few weeks from game number one, if there is a question mark and a concern for this Ole Miss offense, where do you think that would be?
Without question, it's the offensive line. They lost a lot of talent last year, and it has just not gone as well as Ole Miss would have liked it to. You look at Diego Pounds, the left tackle. He has to play better than he did last year. You got sophomore transfer Delano Townsend along with sophomore transfer P.J. Wilkins. They've got to step up, and they've got to be huge parts of this offensive line. Bryson Sanders, redshirt sophomore, Ole Miss really needs him to play center because Patrick Kutis, the senior transfer out of Arkansas right now at right guard, if Sanders can't go, he's got to slide down to center. Then what happens to right guard? Does Cerez Davis, the sophomore transfer, does he fall over to right guard? And then at right tackle, Jaden Williams has kind of been dealing with a little bit of an injury, so they really need him to step it up at right tackle. The good news is Devin Harper, a freshman out of the state of Tennessee, has looked really good. I think he'll get some significant snaps this year. But Percy Lewis, a transfer that's kind of been a been all over the place. He was at Mississippi State, and he went JUCO for a little while, and now he's at Ole Miss, and just kind of been all over the place. Offensive line, Steven, I've got to see it on the field. And right now, just I think there are question marks. And I think if there's a weak spot on that offense, I think there's no doubt that's definitely going to be the question mark. Journeyman is what I was looking for. I lost my train of thought, but that's what Percy Lewis has been. I don't know if he'll get any significant snaps, but there's got to be some people that step up. They don't have a ton of depth, and right now I think they're dealing with some injuries. It's just not a good situation right now on that offensive line.
When you look at this Ole Miss offense, do you think by season's end the offense in total numbers will be at the top half of the SEC or in the bottom half?
I don't think there's any doubt it'll be at the top half. And I think that'll be early on. I mean, the cohesiveness between Simmons and the wide receiving core is really good. And I think the good thing is when you got a Deshaun Stribling, Harrison Wallace the third, and Deuce, those guys have been in the trenches before. I mean, they've been in the high impact, high caliber games in the Power Five, and they know what to do. And then you've got an uber talented quarterback in Austin Simmons, and then you throw in Caden Lee and what he's done last year. And here's another name too, Isaiah Hartrup is someone that's really stepped up for Ole Miss, a senior transfer. So he's someone that was injured last year and has played really well this year and catching some deep ball. So I think they'll be at the high end. I think the running back room is really good. The problem, Stephen, once again, does Austin Simmons have the protection he needs? Because that offensive line's kind of got a lot of question marks. Can they open the holes enough for those running backs? Right now, I just don't know. So it's just definitely a question mark. And, you know, I do still think they finished in the top half, but a lot of that's going to depend on that offensive front.
So, Brad, hold that thought up against another break. And when we come back, we are going to discuss the defense, and then we will get to the schedule and navigate that. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Ole Miss Preview Show will continue right after this. Through August the 19th, these amazing deals are going on at South's Finest Meats, including one dozen of Grade A extra large eggs, $3.38. Crinkle cut fries, which is a 5-pound bag, $6.96. 30 count of Southern style Pillsbury biscuits at $9.49, and a 14 count of corn dogs, $8.45. They also have great deals on chicken, pork, seafood, Ziegler products, and of course, beef. You can find them at 3201 10th Avenue right there in Tuscaloosa. Go by there today and check out all of their specials that run through August the 19th. Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR. Up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabama1.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama 1, 1 together.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Brad Logan, who covers Ole Miss. And Brad, before the break, we were talking about the offense. Now let's switch to the defensive side of the football. And last year, Ole Miss finally had a defense that was good enough and capable enough of beating Georgia and holding them to 59 yards rushing on the day. What does the defense look like this year for Ole Miss?
Yeah, you know, talked about a little bit at the top of the show, Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, he likes the defense a lot, specifically likes the defensive line. And so, yeah, they lost a lot. And you talk about Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Walter Nolan, Prince Umami Ellen, Pooh Paul, John Saunders, Trey Amos. I could go on. And all those players are in the league. Ole Miss had a good enough defense last year to win the national championship.
Yeah.
And of the three games that they lost, none of them were because of the defense. I mean, I guess maybe late in the game against LSU, but I mean, they led the whole game. It didn't trail. The LSU tied it in regulation. So it's a situation where the defense was never the problem. Right. The problem last year was offense. So, but yeah, I think they take a step back. The question is how big of a step back? I don't know. You start looking at players, you know, you got Suntarian Perkins, who I think he is a catch-all. I mean, he can line up in the dirt. He can come from outside. He can stand up and play linebacker. I mean, he'll be all over the field. And I think the defensive line is going to be good. I mean, maybe even better than good. Pete Golding likes the defensive front. If you look at Jamarian Brown, Xavier Harris, Deshaun Womack, and Princewell Imani Ellen, those are four really good players. And you start talking about Cam Franklin, who has been phenomenal, a former five-star player out of Lake Comerant High School in Mississippi, has been a beast to block for Ole Miss, have not been able to block him. And then you talk about Will Echols, a sophomore out of Houston, Mississippi High School. So there are some dudes on that defensive front, and I'm looking to see what they can do. Linebacker, don't miss Pooh Paul. T.J. Dottery, kind of the quarterback on that defense. Wears the headset, if you will, the green dot to where he wears the earpiece and can communicate with Pete Golding. So he's the guy there, linebacker. Like I said, Perkins is going to stand up at linebacker. He's going to come from the outside. He's kind of going to be all over the place. Tyler Banks is someone to watch, and he's someone that has been called out a lot. Taj Chambers, senior transfer, along with Andrew Jones. Jaden Yates, junior transfer, has made a lot of tackles in his career. So linebacker play is something I want to see. You know, we've heard about them. We've seen them in practice, but I just need to see on the field how they can do. I know what Dottery can do, but everyone else, they're coming from other places. And they've made a lot of tackles at those other places, but we haven't seen it on a major college level. Defensive backfield's a question. I mean, Trey Amos is a guy that's playing for the Washington Commanders that is phenomenal. And I don't think all of us that cover the team and the fans and everybody knew just how – or appreciated just how good Trey Amos was for Ole Miss. But in that defensive backfield, they really need Jalen Braxton, the transfer of Arkansas, to be good. I mean, he's had an upper body injury, but he's working through it. You know, I asked him at media day, and he said he's good to go. So we'll see. Sage Ryan is kind of having up and down a career. He's coming in from LSU. We'll see. Kapina Kashukin, the transfer out of Washington. You know, he's a guy. Ricky Fletcher, Chris Graves Jr. Just kind of got to see where everything is. And the situation is that defensive backfield is someone. Antonio Kai, by the way, the transfer of Auburn, has been getting a lot of play and has had a really good preseason camp. So he's someone to watch. Once again, that defensive backfield and the linebacker play, Steven, is one I've got to see on the field.
Right.
You know, we could talk about it all day on paper. I know how good the defensive front, because I've seen them in action. Not really sure about everywhere else. So got a lot of things to kind of keep an eye out for. And linebacker play, the defensive backfield, that's definitely somewhere I'm not sure about.
So, Brad, let me go ahead and ask you question marks and concerns on this defense. Go ahead and give them to us, please.
Well, major college snaps. I mean, Taj Chambers, a senior transfer. Andrew Jones, a graduate transfer out of Grambling. Jane Yates, junior transfer. I mean, all those guys have an incredible amount of talent, an incredible amount of tackles to their career, but not at the major college level. So how does that transfer over? You know, the defensive backfield and the linebacker play, I think you can lump that all into one and to say those are the two positions to where I think there is a concern until that can be alleviated when we see it on the field.
Heath, welcome in. Are you
good
ready?
Good evening, everybody. Brad, I'm putting my four kids to bed. Everything's crazy. And my wife's folding laundry right here. It's maddening. But I'm happy to be here. Brad, sitting here looking at the schedule real quick. You open up with Georgia State. Then you're on the road at Kentucky. You got Arkansas at home, Tulane at home, LSU at home before you get an off week. But real quick, let's talk about the non-conference matchups. You got Georgia State. You got Tulane. You got Washington State. And then you got that mighty, mighty fine team, the Citadel, later in the season in November. How do you feel about the non-conference schedule? Do you like where the games are situated to get you rest? Are there any concerns with the non-conference schedule?
Well, I like the Tulane game because I think John Summerall is a fantastic coach. You know, yes. Talked about a little bit earlier in the show. And I think that could prove pivotal for Ole Miss, especially if they do what they're supposed to do, beating Kentucky on the road and beating Arkansas at home. Than having Tulane come into Oxford prior to that game against LSU. I think it'll be a good test. You know, the schedule to me is interesting because last year Ole Miss played three or four games and no one knew how good they were because the teams they were facing were just, quite frankly, not any good at all. And Ole Miss kind of just ran through the competition before it faced a Kentucky team that, quite frankly, beat them straight up. And Kentucky played well. So I think having a not necessarily difficult, but a more difficult schedule than Ole Miss had last year, starting off with Georgia State. You may mention Kentucky and Arkansas. I think it's going to bode well for Ole Miss to have that competition piece before it plays LSU the fifth game of the season. To me, this particular Ole Miss team in this season goes through a couple of games. I think 9-3 is kind of where I'm at with this team right now. Depending on what happens at Oklahoma, you know, Ole Miss goes to Norman on Saturday, October 25th. It's an early game. That window is going to be in between 11 and 12 Central. If Ole Miss can somehow win on the road against a really good Oklahoma team and Brent Venables, and that team's going to have their back against the wall, I don't know where they'll be at that point. I think they'll be pretty good. John Mateer, a really good transfer quarterback for them. He's getting a lot of Heisman buzz. A lot of people are talking about this Oklahoma team. If Ole Miss can go on the road to beat Oklahoma, I like their chances the rest of the way. I mean, I think there's a chance Ole Miss could finish with 10 wins again. But I think it hinges on what happens in Norman, Oklahoma. I don't know that Ole Miss can go to Georgia and win. I also think it's going to be very difficult for Ole Miss to beat LSU at home because I think the Tigers are going to be absolutely loaded this year. But if they can go on the road and beat Oklahoma, I think there's a chance they can win the remainder of their games. Lose that game, and I think there's, you know, it's 8-9 win territory.
Everyone in the SEC has got a brutal three-game stretch. You know, with Ole Miss, it looks like that's Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina. That just looks so brutal. With that, do you like how the schedule is set up for the season? Do you like where the off weeks are? Does it set up nicely for Ole Miss? And what concerns do you have with that schedule?
Well, it sets up better than last year. And I think the competition piece. Also, you avoid Texas, Alabama, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Auburn, and the list goes on. I don't know how good some of those teams are, but Ole Miss avoids all of those teams. And I think honestly, looking at where this team is right now, not having to play Alabama, who's always been kind of a bear for Ole Miss, with the exception of a couple of years under Hugh Freeze, it's always been a struggle. And so you avoid that whole Hugh Freeze thing down in Auburn. So I think the schedule sets up very nicely. You also avoid Texas and Arch Manning and all that, unless you were meeting these teams in the SEC championship game. I think the games, you get Florida late. I think that's good because you have no idea where Florida will be mentally at that point. I think you get LSU early. I think that's also good. Interestingly enough, LSU could be a two-loss team coming to Oxford because they've got Florida earlier. Then they open up with Clemson. So who knows where LSU is going to be the fourth or fifth week of the season. But to me, the game is Oklahoma. Right. That's the game for Ole Miss, and that's just kind of where I'm looking at. South Carolina, I think, will be interesting to see where that team is in the latter part of the year. Lenore Sellers, also someone getting a ton of Heisman buzz. You know, I saw him live in Columbia and just didn't impress me. And I understand that he's a good player. I saw the Netflix documentary. And I will say, after they faced Ole Miss and Ole Miss won that 27-3, and it really could have been 42-3, I thought Sellers really played well and then went on the road as they beat Clemson. So, yeah, I mean, he was playing a lot better than he played against Ole Miss. But I think that's definitely a game to look at on Saturday, November 1st. But who knows where Ole Miss is at that point. They may be – Ole Miss could have three losses easily by that point if you look at Georgia, Oklahoma, and LSU. So where's Ole Miss's defense going to be at that point in the season? Where's the mental – makeup of this team going to be? So that's why I think this is so big for Ole Miss to go on the road and beat Oklahoma. And, you know, and I'm just kind of throwing away the LSU and the Georgia games. What if Ole Miss beats LSU at home? But then they have to beat Kentucky and Arkansas in the earlier parts of the year. So a lot of things that have to happen. But to answer your question, yeah, I like how the schedule shakes out for Ole Miss. I think it's very opportunistic, if you will. For Ole Miss.
So, Brad, hold that thought. We are up against our final break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the Ole Miss preview show right here on the Stingray Show. And we will be right back.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., the countdown to kickoff continues for high school football. We'll get it started on Thursday night, and we will continue our high school football previews on Tuesday morning. Plus, the Rocket Man, Drew D'Arman, from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville will break down Alabama Crimson Tide football and your phone call. That's all coming up Tuesday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide 100.9.com.
How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. On Highway 69 North from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. West on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 12-minute drive. McWrights Ferry Road is being extended down to Rice Mine Road, and also construction work on Old Birmingham Highway eastbound between 55th and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
This is the Bosch Man.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary.
Welcome back, SEC fans. You're listening to the Stingray Show here on Tide 100.9 FM. Our guest tonight is Brad Logan. Brad's a friend of the show. We're talking about Ole Miss as we're doing the preview show of all 16 teams. And tonight we're talking about the Rebels. Brad, earlier in the show, we asked, where do you think the Ole Miss team would finish on offense, top half or bottom half in the SEC? Let's talk about the defense. Where do you think this defense will finish at season's end? Do you like where it's going to be, or is it at least one of the years? And, hey, you can finish 12th, 13th, 14th and still make a bowl game in the SEC, especially with a Lane Kiffin offense. But where do you think the Rebel defense is going to be at the end of the season?
Yeah, I right now I do not think they will finish in the top half of the SEC, by what they lost last year. I mean, you know, Heath, we visited with I was telling Stephen, we visited with Ole Miss defense coordinator Pete Golding, and he talked about how much he liked – these defensive front, and I get that, and I just need to see on paper. I'm saying on the field. I mean, we've seen it on paper. We know who they're bringing in, specifically on linebacker and Jaden Yates, Andrew Jones, Todd Chambers. They're going to go. Of course, they'll be with T.J. Jottery, Santarian Perkins. I mean, that looks really good. I mean, on paper, it's a heck of a linebacker room because there's so many tackles coming in. Those three guys that transfer in, along with Perkins and Dottery, there's a lot of tackles, but need to see it on the field. And the defensive backfield, good grief, so many transfers coming in. They lost a ton. Talking about John Saunders, who was really good for Ole Miss last year, Trey Amos, who's now with the Washington Commanders, so good. Just a lot of unanswered questions. So right now, I'm saying they probably finish on the bottom half of the SEC, but even so, I mean, if the defense is – or the offense is as good as I think they're going to be, I don't think that could be a huge detriment to Ole Miss. They just have to do their best to try to keep Ole Miss in the game, I think. And so I'll just be interested to see how the team's defense kind of blends and meshes together over the first couple of weeks of the season. I know Ole Miss's offense will be fine because Austin Simmons has made sure that offense is really humming. Obviously, I think the offensive line's got some question marks, but everywhere else they're loaded. Defense, not the case. I think they need to sit on the field and to see how this team meshes.
You mentioned Austin Simmons. Is there any chance he finishes in the top three in passing in the SEC? Because Lane Kiffin had the best passing offense last year in the SEC. Do you think Austin Simmons can finish in the top three in the SEC in passing?
I mean, I guess he could, but even if he doesn't, I mean, you finish in the top six or seven in the SEC – and your Heisman numbers, because you look at our let's just spitball this for a minute. Let's just kind of throw out the names of quarterbacks we're going to be watching in the SEC.
Who we think a lot of fun ones.
Arch Manning, everybody's excited to see him. Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, those are three. John Mateer at Oklahoma, Austin Simmons. I'm going to throw in Blake Shapen, Aguiar at Tennessee,
Lagway.
I was about to say, don't forget about Lagway.
DJ Lagway of Florida. Who else are we missing? And that's eight right there.
Jackson Arnold.
Jackson Arnold, yeah, I'm throwing him in. That's nine at Auburn. Stimson at Alabama, that's 10. That's 10 players right there. So, yeah, I think he can, but if he doesn't, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think he's going to have a heck of a year. And I think I think there's a chance, and I'll probably get some grief on this, and that's okay too. I think there's a chance that Austin Simmons, by the end of his career, could be as good or better than Jackson Dart. He's got an incredible skill set. He's not going to run it like Jackson did. Number one, he's not going to. I don't think he'll have to run it as much. And I'm predicating all of this that the offensive line is going to be somewhat serviceable. Lane even said that he does not anticipate Austin Simmons running the football. He wants him to go, pretty much through the air with the running back baby that Ole Miss has, and they're four deep and they're in a good position. So, not sure he finishes on top three, but he's going to be really good this year.
How did the transfer portal treat Ole Miss on both sides of the ball? What are the additions that you like?
Wide receiver room. Deshaun Stribling is a maniac. I mean, he's huge. He's fast. He can go up and get it. He is a monster at wide receiver. He's a senior transfer out of Oklahoma State. Senior transfer Harrison Wallace, the third out of Duke. Really good possession receiver. Can go up and get it. Caleb Odom, senior sophomore transfer. Traylon Ray, junior transfer. Deuce Alexander, sophomore transfer out of Wake Forest. They just absolutely have a loaded wide receiver room, and that's all because of the portal. Now, don't forget, Caden Lee. He'll be the guy on offense for Ole Miss, but the transfer portal was really good to Ole Miss at the wide receiver. Also good to Ole Miss in the running back room. You start talking about Kawan Lacy, the transfer out of Missouri, Damian Taylor, the senior transfer out of Troy, and then Logan Diggs, the transfer out of LSU. So, yeah, transfer room was huge for that running back room too. Defensively, probably the defensive backfield is where the most transfers are, along with that linebacking core. But got to see it on the field. But the transfer portal, Lane Kiffin and his staff continue to be at the forefront of that portal. And they've done really well with the NIL package, NIL component of college football. They've been really good at the transfer portal, portion of college football, and continue to be at the forefront of all of that.
Brad, let's go ahead and get off of Ole Miss. You also like to look at other teams around the SEC. Give us a couple that you are keeping your eye on as to, wow, this team could surprise some people.
Well, I'm not going to talk about any teams that I think would surprise us for winning the conference. I'm talking about from an entertainment value.
Okay.
Some teams that I'm really interested in seeing are, number one, are Auburn. The Auburn Tigers this year with Hugh Freeze, because I think they're in a very volatile situation on the plains. I think Hugh needs to win this year.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to watch that opening game against Baylor. I mean, they're recruiting lights out right now. They're recruiting the state of Mississippi. If you guys know Tyrone Dix, not Tyrone, I'm sorry. Help me out here. Tyrone's brother was at Ole Miss forever. He's now at the offensive coordinator with Auburn, with Hugh Freeze. So they're recruiting Mississippi really hard. I'm also interested in watching Arkansas this year to see what happens with Sam Pittman. That's going to be a fun story to watch kind of unfold. And then, of course, LSU, you look at Brian Kelly here locally, at least close to Mississippi, and to see that Kelvin Bolden transferred down or left and went to LSU. He was at Ole Miss forever, and he is a really good component for in-state recruiting. By the way, Dante Moncrief, you guys may remember, really good receiver for Ole Miss. He's now on staff at Ole Miss. And so he's in a player personnel role, and he'll be a huge component of in-state recruiting, which we've seen both Ole Miss and Mississippi State have struggled with. The team that I think I'm more interested in than anybody is Mississippi State, to see what Jeff Lebby can do this year. Because I think if Blake Shapen stays healthy, Shapen can be one of the best quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. The question is what does Shapen have around him? And I think Lebby's a great offensive mind. And I think Fluff Boutwell is a really good running back. And so if they can kind of surround themselves with a pretty good offensive front, I think Mississippi State can be pretty good on offense. And you look at Mississippi State's schedule, if they can beat Arizona State, beaten. Obviously, I think they'll beat Southern Miss handily in the first week of the year. I don't know. There are a lot of people wringing their hands over that Southern Miss game. I'm thinking, if you're wringing your hands over that Southern Miss game, then you're expecting State to win two games because they should just destroy Southern Miss down in Hattiesburg. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, I think they can come home and beat Arizona State, who's a really good team. They're going to have to play well. Then all of a sudden, you're 4-0 hosting Tennessee. And I'm not sold on Tennessee this year. So then all of a sudden, you beat Tennessee. Now you're 5-0. Nobody in the world thinks you're any good at all. So State gets to 6-6, gets to a bowl game. I think that makes sure that Jeff Lebby is secure for another year. And, you know, people at Mississippi State and Starkville will be a lot happier than kind of they are right now to interject a little bit of enthusiasm into their program.
So, Brad, as we walk out the door, who do you have the confetti falling down on in Atlanta for the SEC champion?
Texas. I think Sarkisian has kind of figured it out. I think Steve Sarkisian is a really good football coach, first of all. Secondly, I think Texas has decided they want to play football in the Southeastern Conference, and they're throwing a lot of money their way. Now, Texas A&M throws a lot of money towards their program, but they hadn't figured out how to play football yet.
Right.
But Texas has figured it out.
Yeah.
Arch Manning's a really good quarterback. He's a runner. He's a thrower. And I think they've surrounded themselves with really good talent. I think it's probably Texas and Georgia, maybe Texas and Alabama, maybe Texas and LSU. I don't know. But it's definitely Texas, I think, winning. I think Texas may win the national championship. I've got Texas, Oklahoma State in the national championship, and I think Texas probably wins.
So, Brad, look, man, as always, thank you for taking time to join us. Enjoy covering the last little bit of Ole Miss at practice before we get into the college football season here in a few weeks, and we would love to catch up with you during the season to continue to talk about Ole Miss.
All right, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Brad, thank you always.
So that is going to put a wrap on the Ole Miss preview show. Really hope that you guys have enjoyed it. When we come back on the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, we are going down to the Bayou and talking about the LSU Tigers and how Brian Kelly and Nussmeier are going to do this season with a loaded LSU football team. That is on the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and we will see you at 6 p.m. with the Fighting Tigers of LSU.
Steven, how do you think the Rebels are going to do?
I'm going to go 8-4.
Fair enough. That sounds fair to me.